Hey everybody, welcome back to the U of A Basketball Weekly Podcast. We have a lot to get into this week, you know, kind of kicking off the podcast, recapping an exhibition week, previewing a game against a really good Michigan State team for this upcoming weekend, but most importantly, talking about the current state of the team, and all the things that have been going on with them. So right off the bat, going to go right into it, talking about Ray Smith. And this is a hard thing to talk about. A great kid who's put a lot into basketball, a lot into this program. Someone who, when Sean Miller recruited him, said that he was the most talented recruit, best recruit he had ever recruited. And if you don't know a lot about Ray Smith, you know, he kind of came on into the basketball scene kind of late into his junior season, really rose through basketball rankings really highly and really quickly. And unfortunately, that was taken away with him very quickly, taken away from him very quickly as well when his senior year of high school, he tore his ACL. He had to sit out that entire year, missed out on McDonald's All-American honors, and although he came to U of A in hopes of some form of redemption and, you know, a great year where he had a real big chance to become our starting small forward, 6'8", really great body type for the small forward role. The traditional small forward plays really heavy, good defense, extremely athletic. And unfortunately, right after last year's red and blue game, he actually tore his other ACL in his other knee. And after a year of, tough rehab and everything like that, and after, everyone hoping for the best, you're wondering how this kid's going to play after 2 years of not playing college basketball at all, jumping into that role. And unfortunately, in that first exhibition game, he became injured again. He fell on the court about three different times that kind of looked bad. The first time he had to leave to the locker room, but he came back out and, came right back onto the court, got a standing ovation from everyone there. So it was a really feel-good moment to know that we have him, but it was, taken away quickly when he fell down again and then a third time. And the third time, you knew that he fell hard, and you knew that something was wrong. He kind of made a gesture, the kind of, like, I'm done kind of gesture that kind of expressed a lot of concern in a lot of people. I think that really heavily impacted how they played the rest of that game. I think as well as the atmosphere, McHale was just really down. And unfortunately, what ended up happening is, although both of his rehabs and his ACL reconstruction were a success, he actually tore his ACL again for the third time, and it was worse than both the other two times, which kind of led him to the decision to officially retire from basketball completely. So this is a hard thing to take, obviously, for the basketball team, but most importantly for Ray, and, our hearts go out for him because, he's a great kid. You see it in the interviews of him. He's so charismatic, has so much life to him, so much love for the game. And it's not fair for someone to have worked that hard to have the game taken away from him. He never even really got to play a college game. So obviously really unfortunate. He plans to stay close with the team, maybe in a manager type of role. I think he has aspirations to maybe do a little coaching and some commentating. I think he's going to be really successful in life. I think out of all the people, he deserved really to be able to have a career in the NBA the most. And, if things went well and he didn't have these injuries, like Sean Miller said in a interview a couple days ago, he really had a chance to be an early first round or something really special. And really have a long NBA career. Unfortunately, that's not how it went. Our hearts go out with him, like I said. But I think he's going to be very successful. The way that he, has dealt with it, I don't think most kids can look at that kind of hardship, look at that kind of career-ending thing, and really be so positive about it. Obviously, he's distraught, but the perspective he's brought to it about how grateful he is to still be at the university and how he's going to finish out his college career, like his college, you know, get his degree. I think that's really great. I think the way that he's taking it is as speaks so much to his character as a person. So really hoping for Ray. Hope he does well. You know, he's gonna be with the team every once in a while. Hope his surgery goes well, and I wish him, you know, the best of luck for the rest of his life. He really deserves it. So, beyond that, we're going to get a little bit into kind of talking about Alonzo Trier and Chance Comanche, about their suspensions prior. Obviously, you know, if you've heard the Michigan State game coming up, Chance Comanche has been, has traveled with them, and I would expect him to play on Friday. If you didn't know, he was, you know, he was suspended for kind of academic issues. This one wasn't by the NCAA or by the school, I don't believe. It seemed like it's mostly from Sean Miller, just a lack of responsibility in the classroom. And this one, kind of compared to Ray and Alonzo Trier, kind of seems, you know, it's kind of like, really, come on, man. But I guess he's figured it out because he's going to be traveling with them. You know, Sean Miller expects him to play, so, you know, maybe Sean Miller just kind of figured we need him, and maybe Chance wasn't going to classes. I'm not going to speculate on it, but it seems to be figured out. So he should be back in time for that game because we really need him. I think it really showed that we need an 8-player rotation, especially early. Playing with 7 players is just too tough, and he's going to give up a lot to that, and I'll talk about that a little bit. So expect Chance Comanche to be back. Hopefully he gets all the things figured out with his academics. But talking about a little bit about Alonzo Trier, obviously, you know, everyone kind of looked into this year as Alonzo Trier being the leader back for his sophomore year, after a really great freshman campaign. He would have almost surely gotten into the NBA if he hadn't hurt and broke his hand playing in that USC game in the middle of the Pac-12 play last year. You know, I think he averaged about almost 15 points a game as a freshman. You know, just great efficiency, great percentages, shooting. Really came into his own defensively as well. You know, he looked really good. Everyone was really excited for this follow-up season. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, suspension. You know, it's been going on for about the past month. Sean Miller has over and over refused to comment on it. I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about the rumors about it, what I think. Obviously, this is my own opinion. Don't take this as the truth necessarily. This is kind of what I think. So I'm going to kind of give you a review of what the rumors have said up to this point. The rumor is that he has violated and failed a drug test for performance-enhancing drugs. Now, it kind of seems strange for a kid of his caliber. You would expect this from a kid, you know, who kind of doesn't have a lot to lose, but as a kid who's almost a shoe-in for the NBA, at least in the second round, this kind of seems like a strange thing to have come up. And obviously there's a big rumor going around that there is some aspect of it that's not a normal case of just PEDs. Performance enhancing drugs are usually a pretty you know, black and white case for a lot of, for the NCAA, you know, but they also have a lot of things on their ban list, you know, like protein supplements and stuff like that, things you would not expect to be considered a performance-enhancing drug. And kind of the rumor right now is that it's actually possibly how he failed it. It was possibly asthma medication, like he did not, he was taking asthma medication, maybe he had a hard time breathing, and he took old asthma medication to help him out that he hadn't reapplied for and told the NCAA about. That could obviously come up. I think that's the biggest rumor right now. That's what people are going with. I am not positive that that's true. I would imagine it's something similar. I've seen a lot of people say that they can almost confirm that it's something that you would not expect and involves like a doctor prescribing it. I think in that case, and I think a sign that points that that could be very true is that under that case, I think you would go through an appeals process. I doubt the NCAA would really hold it against a kid for taking asthma medication if he really can't breathe, you know, just to make sure that he's okay. I don't see that being an issue. I think if it was, you know, just anabolic steroid, just something that he was exclusively using to get a leg up on the game, I think he'd already have left the program. I think U of A would have commented on it. I think he'd be done with, and he wouldn't be with them. I think the fact that it seems like he's still practicing with them, he's showing up to the games, although, you know, it's kind of like the Elliott Pitts thing. It seems to me that in this case, it seems like the PEDs thing is the truth, that it seems to be the issue. I would imagine at this point it goes through an appeals process. I know Cheick Diallo, I think, from Kansas had an issue as far as with the NCAA. I don't remember exactly what it was. Kind of around the same time period, and his didn't get cleared. He was finally able to play last year around November 20th, that kind of date. That's when I would expect Trier to be back. I expect him to be back, especially if that's the case. I saw someone saying that he was going to be retaking a test and a drug test, and if he passed, he would get through. Hopefully that's the case. I would expect him to be cleared sometime soon in the next couple weeks. Sean Miller kind of pointed to that on a podcast that he talked on ESPN with. He said, you know, as far as him, things are going to kind of get cleared up a little bit in the next couple weeks. So I would imagine kind of, you know, the next 2 weeks, I'm sure we'll hear something, whether or not it's good or bad, but I would expect him to rejoin the team. You know, he's not made the trip to Hawaii with them. He's not going to. I saw that earlier today. So obviously not going to be playing in the Michigan State game. It's kind of unclear when he'll be back. So, you know, hope him the best. Hopefully, you know, it's something like that that gets, you know, figured out relatively soon. We really need him. So all hope to him. And obviously, yeah. So that's a little bit about the current status of the team. You know, we're a little beat up as far as, you know, missing some really important guys like Ray and Alonzo. Thankfully, we get Chance back. But I'm going to go into a little bit now about how the games this exhibition week, how we looked in those games. So first, I'm going to talk about them collectively, but I'm going to talk a little bit about the first game. In the first game, I think that we completely outclassed that team. I don't think it was... It's not just an exhibition game. I mean, they just were not at that kind of level whatsoever, to where it was really hard to see a lot from it. I think the thing that was really noticeable is that our ability to play in transition and our ability to create turnovers, as well as inside scoring and free throws, really looked good. I think that that was something that transcended that game into the next one. Think the ability of Kadeem Allen and Kobe Simmons to create steals and turnovers, you know, force tough shots and some of this solid defense like we saw in that first game. You know, and our transition play is really fast and is really good, honestly. It seems really good, and that's kind of something you expect more from a team that has a little bit more chemistry. I think that that's something we can really build off, be a lot more of a running team. I think it's going to really help our offense. Our inside scoring, our post play look great. You know, I want to see them get the ball a little bit down low more because they can really hurt them with the skill that we have down there. As well as our free throws. You know, the past 3 years, we've kind of been a, you know, last year average, the 2 years prior to that, kind of bad free throw shooting team. Not great. You know, we shot really great free throws, I think 80% or so in either game. That's fantastic. You can't really, you know, hope for more. But so I think that's kind of like the pros that we experienced this weekend, looking at what we did well. Talking a little bit about the cons, and I think that there are, you know, two that really stick out. Number one is the depth. You know, that's something that's a little bit of a concern, and I think that, you know, Chance Comanche coming back, it fills a lot of a need for, you know, the things we struggled with, like, you know, our front court defending, you know, just, and rebounding, and really being physical in the post. I think Chance gives us that presence. Obviously, Dusan and Markkanen, Lowry have to do a little bit better a job of that. You obviously saw in the second game, Lowry got 0 rebounds in the first half and then came out in the second and got 7. Kid's obviously able to get rebounds at a very high level. It's just going to take some time. I think Chance is going to help that. So depth and rebounding, I'm looking to kind of be fixed more this next week. The other major thing, this is kind of, I think, that is going to be a big question all year long, is outside shooting. I think when Terrence Ferguson had recently committed to us, made this team, it fit the mold of this team very well, his ability to knock down perimeter shots. And with him and Alonzo Chir not being on the team, obviously he went and played in Australia. Alonzo Chir suspended at the current time. You know, it's hard to say who's going to be the person to knock down the shots. I think the first person you have to go to is Kobe Simmons. You know, he's able to knock down those shots. He hasn't shown it in these first couple games. I'm not sure if he's only made one three or if he's even made one in these first couple of exhibition games. You know, there's Kadeem Allen and obviously Parker Jackson Cartwright, who I think needs to become more of a presence on the perimeter. You know, he's able to keep some people honest in Pac-12 play last season, leading the conference in three-point shooting percentage. So I think you need to expect a little bit more from them. They had one of 13 three-point shooting. I believe it was made by Kadeem Allen in that first game, and that's unacceptable to take 13 shots and only make one of them. That's terrible. And then in the second game, I think it was like 3 of 14 or something. Mark Hanen made all three, which is fantastic, and his ability to knock down perimeter shots is really great. We just need the guards to be doing it, because it'll really open up the center and really bust that zone so Lowry can do what he can also on the floor and not just be sitting out on the perimeter. I think we need to be doing that. So I think that's something they focus on this week. I would expect to see that coming mostly from either Parker Jackson Cartwright or Kobe Simmons, especially Kobe Simmons. I think that's kind of going to be his role a little bit, is being able to knock down those perimeter shots. So after that, I'm going to get into... As well as, I think there were some issues with some offensive fouls, obviously the defense on the thin front court. I think those are things that are going to get better. Lowry and Raleigh really had issues in that first game, and Raleigh a little bit in the second game, about offensive fouls, just going a little bit hard, knowing when to kind of take a spot-up jumper, do a little floater or something, instead of just barreling into people. Because people are more likely to, you know, be setting up for the charge now in college than they're used to. So I think that's something to look out for, but they played a lot better around that in the second game. And also the other thing I have to talk about is lack of turnovers. The second game, I think our team had 5 turnovers. That's excellent for this early. That was kind of a thing that plagued last year's team a lot, the inability to, hang on to the ball. Something that looks really good, and I think that's because everyone's ability to pass on this team is really good, whether or not it's from guard play or in the front court. I saw Keanu Pinder and Lowry, you know, really throw down some beautiful passes in the inside to everyone else. I mean, if our team's ability to do that, like, if we can do that throughout the entire year and really be a grind-up defense and cut them up like that with great interior passing, I think that, you know, our ceiling is very high as far as our offense. Probably the highest that we've seen in, I don't know, and ever as far as offensive talent on this team. So now I'm going to get into weekend grades a little bit. Obviously, I'm going to just be talking about the seven guys that really played. The first one coming up, our starting point guard, Parker Jackson Cartwright. And so for the whole weekend, I kind of give him a B-. That first game, that first half of that first game, he looked really commanding. I really liked the way that he passed, the way he looked in transition was excellent. Defense, he looked good, but it's hard to tell because I think we outclassed that team so much. Obviously it's much different in the second game where Chico State really came out and punched us in the mouth. Just to comment on that, Chico State did not look like a D2 team. I think that, you know, partly we did not play a great game, but I think that team was just really ready. The mismatches that they created on defense, I mean, they switched up zone, man-to-man. They played some tough stuff that the team, I guess Sean Miller said, wasn't really ready for. And like I said, the inability to knock down perimeter shots, proved to really hurt us in that game. But, you know, You know, so I think PJC struggled a little bit more in the second game, kind of knocked him down. I thought in that first half of the first game, he looked really dominant, especially in transition. I thought he was able to control the tempo, really get great passes into the people he wanted to. So I would say B-, maybe a C+, but I'll give him a B-. You know, I think a lot of what this season is going to depend on how he plays going forward. And so, you know, I have faith in him. I think that he can do it. I think that he needs to be firing on all cylinders this season, though, for us to really have a chance to go deep, especially in the tournament. The next, talking a little bit more about our starting lineup, we're going to go with Kadeem Allen. And so I'm going to give him, you know, an A-, right? His defense in these first two games has looked excellent. What was it? He had 7 steals in the first game. I mean, that's unbelievable. He had a lot of assists in the first game as well. Looked pretty solid in the second game defensively. I think the defense really suits him. I think you see a great defensive stopper in him, especially as far as guards. I think his length really helps as well as that. And he really looks like a commanding guy out on the court. Definitely the leader. I think that's a pleasant surprise for Sean Miller. You know, and I expect Kadeem Allen to really lead this team to do great things. The only reason that kind of I don't leave him because of his defense was so great that I don't give him a really great rating is that I'd like to see more offense out of him. And I think that he kind of need to play point a little bit more this week. Maybe that's something to see for things to come, because Kobe Sins is progressing more as a 2, like, rather than a 1 like people maybe expected. So he might need to be playing more point guard. Maybe that's why we didn't see as much offense. But I'd like to see more from him offensively. He showed that in Red and Blue that he has some insane mid-range jumpers and some firepower, and just his length and his athleticism is really great. I'd like to see him spark the offense a little bit more. Now I'm going to get into Raleigh Alkins, someone who I think will do a phenomenal job this season. Someone who I think, especially if we're able to knock down perimeter shots, especially with someone like Lowry on the outside, kind of bringing the taller players on their team, the big men on the outside, I think Raleigh's really going to be able to bully some people in the paint, you know, draw some fouls, finish with contact. But this week, you know, I don't think it was kind to him as far as how he played. A lot of offensive fouls. You know, looked better in the second game. He made a really great play where he stopped when in the first game he just barreled into someone and threw a shot up, got an offensive foul. He stopped, kind of cut to the side, and threw up like a little kind of floater kind of layup. And it made it in and got an and one. And it was a really great play. I think that is, Sean Miller said he's very coachable. I expect him to be much better going forward. And we're definitely going to need him. We need someone, a winger like that, that's really going to be able to hit hard and play through contact on the inside. So I expect a little bit more from him. That's why I kind of gave him a C- this week, the lowest grade on the team, because I didn't think he played terrible, but I didn't think he played that great. So I expect more out of him, but I think he'll get it together here pretty soon. I think he's going to have a really great year. Next, I'm going to be talking about Lowry. Honestly, I'd say that this kid is the real deal. I think that he kind of wins this week as being the top dog, close to someone else I'm going to get later in, talk about a little bit later. I gave him an A, maybe an A+. I mean, that first game, you know, he couldn't hit those outside shots, and a lot of fouls in the first game. I think that's kind of what brings him out of the A+ to just an A. But man, in that second game, he couldn't be stopped on offense. And his ability to grab rebounds in that second half against Chico State, he's really why we won that game against a team that really came out and just punched us in the mouth, something we weren't ready for. You know, besides his fouls in the first game, it's just going to be about him being good defensively, being able to keep that rebounding intensity, you know, be smart about, you know, taking the shots. The team really wants him to take the shots, especially the perimeter shots. He's the best shooter on the team, and he provides huge mismatches. I would imagine he's going to be the leading scorer this season for the entire team. Just seeing all the tools he has access to, I mean, that second game alone is probably one of the most dominant offensive game I've seen since I've been here and been watching U of A basketball, just especially out of a freshman against a team that was really hurting us, surprisingly. I think he played really well and was the reason we won that game. Next, getting into our starting center, Ristich. I gave him a B-, very similar to the PJC thing. I think that, you know, I think he, you know, has a lot of consistency as far as him being able to make shots. I think that you kind of get him the ball and good things are going to happen. Sean Miller says that a lot. There's not a lot, you know, he doesn't miss a lot. Kind of if he posts up and gets that little hook going or that little soft touch, I mean, it's almost going in every time. So I'd like to see them get him the ball a little bit more. I'd also like to see him, you know, rebound a little bit harder. I know we heard a lot about how his physicality had improved this season. So I think going forward, that's something really great. Especially his ability to post up on people and really score the ball. I'd like to see him get the ball more, rebound a little bit harder. But I think I'm happy with the way he's going. Just play a little bit harder defense, rebound a little bit harder. And that kind of goes into the next person, who I think gave Lowry kind of a run for his money as far as being who I think was the best player this weekend, and that was Keanu Pinder. I gave him an A, pretty much tied with Lowry. I'd say Lowry probably is player of the week, but Keanu's really close. His rebounding, his physical defense, just the way that he plays, that toughness, his hustle plays, something that I think really we were missing from last season. Something that when you look at this team, you're besides an outside shooter, you're almost looking for one thing, and that's like that interior defensive, rebounding, physical, you know, tough player on the front court. And there's Keanu Pinder, and you just plug him right in. And he, you know, I think he's, you saw him in the red and blue game in these first two exhibition games. I think he played great in all three. I think he's the only player that, in my opinion, has really blown me out of the water. I think that he is going to be extremely important this season and someone who's going to play a lot. He's actually my girlfriend's favorite player. She likes his accent a lot and stuff like that. But, I mean, he had a double-double in that first game. He to me, is going to be very important down the road. Not just a depth player, but a major role player. I think something that is a pleasant surprise to Sean Miller and to the whole fan base. Someone we really are going to count on a lot. He's quick on offense. He moves good in transition. Just in general, you know, his mid-range and stuff like that doesn't look too great. And offensively, he looks, you know, a little, you know, whatever compared to everyone else. But I think we have the other offensive talent to where he is just going to be a really good player on defense and just get the tough rebounds and just make the big plays. And that gets me into another big playmaker, and that's Kobe Simmons. Really impressed with him. When I saw him in red and blue, I thought that I saw the you know, the Justin Simon in him a little bit in that game. I think you could draw a comparison to that. They're very similar athletic point guards, 6'5", you know. Can knock down perimeter shots but have good inside game and just extremely athletic. But I think this exhibition we really saw what he can do. And that is his playmaking ability. His athleticism is, you know, something we haven't seen since Nick Johnson. I think that's a really great comparison. You know, especially offensively, he, you know, he really looks good in that mid-range. I'd like to see him knock down more perimeter shots. I gave him a B+ for the week. I'd like to see him knock down a little bit more perimeter shots. And also assist a little bit more, you know, hopefully that he can get into that point guard role. He had 0 assists in the first game, I think only 1 in the second. Definitely want to see him distribute a little bit more, get more people going. I know they're kind of playing him more at the 2 right now, but they're playing him a little bit at the 1, and I want to see him, you know, rack up those assists a little bit more. But I like how his offense is going, even more than that, I like where his defense is going. I think 3 people have really emerged. I think you look at Kadeem Allen, Kobe Simmons, and Keanu Pinder. Those 3 guys defensively look very solid to me. Kobe Simmons has a chance to be a great perimeter defender. He had 5 steals in game 2. He had 2 back-to-back steals. He stole the ball, scored it, and then got back on defense, stole it again. You know, his intensity, he brought a lot to that defense. Another big reason why we won and were able to go on streaks. But something Sean Miller talked about as that hole that the freshmen kind of have to play that whole 30-second shot clock on defense. A couple times where him and Raleigh and Lowry kind of gave up a little bit in the last 5 seconds, maybe started almost expecting to go in transition and stuff off a missed shot. They really gave up on some assignments, and that Chico State team was just knocking down some tough shots late in the shot clock and really hurt us. Things that they need to get figured out. But, you know, them boxing out and stuff like that. But they'll learn. Overall, I think those three freshmen have done well. I'd like to see a little bit more out of Raleigh. And overall, I think the team has done well. Even though Chico State really took us, seemed to push us to the limits in that game, I thought that they overall played well. And I'm excited for this season. I can't think of, you know, you plug Chance in there, and I can't think of eight people that are that talented on a squad, especially not what we've seen. We've usually had, for the past couple years, you know, our five main guys, and then maybe one or two. I mean, off the bench last season, you're kind of looking at Mark Tollefson off the bench, and he's kind of the next guy. And, you know, all the love to Mark Tollefson, but he wasn't the impact player that I expect him to kind of be. Whereas, like, Keanu Pinder comes in not really expecting him to be a lot, and I think that he's going to be extremely impactful, him coming straight off the bench. I mean, his abilities look really good. His physicality looks really good and really fits well with the team. So after all those grades, you know, I give the whole general team, you know, kind of like a B-. They played all right. They played and crushed a team that they were way better than, kind of struggled against a team that they should have beat a little bit more, but really looked good. So after that, you know, I'm going to get a little bit into the game preview against Michigan State. You know, Michigan State, I believe they're number 12, maybe 12 or 13. I think they're 12 in the AP poll. The line is that we are even with them right now. Obviously, we're going to be meeting them in Hawaii. It was originally going to be on an aircraft carrier, which sounded so cool. Unfortunately, I think maybe weather issues or just some issues, it's going to be played in, I believe, the University of Hawaii's court. I'm not entirely positive, but I know it's going to be inside an indoor court. Would love to see them on an aircraft carrier, but I'm still excited. Obviously, Michigan State, you know, everyone knows about Michigan State's program. Tom Izzo just got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Great program. They almost completely parallel kind of our team right now. Extremely young like our team. Lost a lot of great players like Denzel Valentine, who was the leader for that team for a couple years. Basically an automatic triple-double last year. And, you know, they lose that, but they also bring in some really talented freshmen. Just like us, you know, they have a really great recruiting class, a lot of young kids. And they've struggled early with some setbacks like us with, you know, some of our players not being able to play. They've come through the same kind of issues. So I'm going to kind of talk about kind of what Michigan State brings, and that's physicality. Michigan State's always been a very hard-nosed, physical, tough team. You know, they've rebounded decently well. They've played hard defense. They've been just physical, drew contact, toughness a lot. And Tom Izzo always gets the best out of his players. As far as their defense, which is usually, I'm pretty sure, pretty good, I think they had some issues during exhibitions, but so did we in that second game. It's hard to tell from these exhibition games. But like I said, I think they're big things that they bring is physicality, toughness, and then they have a lot of talented freshmen. Especially one really sticks out. Miles Bridges, he's a freshman small forward, and he is unbelievably physical. You know, he's just a bully in the paint. He can knock down some, you know, farther shots, some perimeter shots. Overall, kind of reminds me a little bit of a younger, more talented Dylan Brooks, just not as experienced, but he's tough. This kid's tough. He fits the Michigan State archetype very well. Definitely going to be a one and done, going to play in the next level, probably almost for sure an early lottery pick. Very, very great player. So we got to play tough defense on him, especially without fouling. I think the issue is that we don't really have a defender to put on him. I think he's, 6'8", or something like that. Little tall for Kadeem Allen, so I didn't expect him. Tall for Kobe Simmons. I kind of expect a little bit more of Keanu Pinder on him. We'll see. You know, maybe Raleigh tries. I don't know. Raleigh's defense hasn't looked that great, but I know he has the ability to be able to do that. I think it kind of sucks timing-wise that Ray Smith kind of would have been the guy to defend him. They match up really well, I think. So he's a definite mismatch against this team. U of A really doesn't have an answer for him, and I think that he's going to hurt us on the interior. So, I think that's a big part of the game plan is stopping him. He's a great, fantastic player. And then the other thing I was going to talk about a little bit is about what we can do well. Overall, I think that we have an advantage on Michigan State going into this game. Obviously, the line is even right now. I'm not sure how that's going to change. But I would say that we have a little bit of an advantage just looking at the numbers. I think that the first thing that sticks out, big size advantage. Big size advantage, especially in the front court. We have 3 7-footers, you know, Chance is 6'11", whatever. Michigan State's tallest player is like 6'8", almost 6'9". That's an unbelievable mismatch, especially with a team of that caliber. The fact that they don't have any player that's really taller than is either 6'9 or taller. That's unbelievable advantage for us. But I've heard that, you know, the way that they play, it's not a big issue that they lack size. I think offensively, if they've struggled a little bit with defense, I think Dusan and Lowry can really hurt them. And I think that's where we need to go. That size, I think, is something that they're not going to be able to handle. Really going to hurt them. But we're going to have to play great defense because, you know, they're going to look good offensively, especially with Miles Bridges, is going to really hurt us on the inside. So we got to get the big men the ball, you know, really take advantage of that size advantage. But the kind of other issue is that the guard play, you know, I think that Michigan State's got some pretty solid guards, and I think PJC is going to really need to play well against them. I think some of their guards are a little bit bigger. I'm not entirely positive, but I believe that's the case. I think this is really important in seeing how PJC can play. Hopefully he can distribute the ball to these big guys and get people open looks. I think a lot's going to come on whether or not he has a good game. I think distributing the ball is going to be very important in this, as well as defense. So I expect a big game from him, hopefully, if we have, you know, a hope to win, obviously from everyone else, but especially from him. So yeah, like I said, I would expect a tough, close game, two very similar teams, in a head-to-head. You know, like John Miller said, even a loss here, it's not detrimental. You lose to a really great team. I think that the issue comes from NCAA tournament seeding. Our non-conference isn't that great. Michigan State has, like, Kentucky, Duke, or, like, Kentucky and Kansas or something, like, the next week and, like, the week after. So, we need to get this win. They don't need it as much. So, you know, because their strength of schedule is unreal. Ours is not. So I think this is kind of, you know, team-wise, it's not going to be that big of a deal, but looking down in seeding-wise, when they take into consideration our non-conference, we're really going to need this win. I would expect us to come out with a win, a close game, and I would you know, say that that is because of our size advantage in the front court. But going on from the Michigan State game, you know, in this podcast, talk a little bit about recruiting. Obviously, I'm going to kind of go into it a little bit more, since this is the first podcast of the year, kind of give you guys an update on how recruiting is going. Obviously, we already have, if you didn't know, 4 commits, and this week, actually, they all signed their letter of intent. I'm going to go a little bit through them and tell you a little bit about each player, what they're kind of ranked, what we expect from them. So the first commit that we got, you know, a couple months ago, start of the regular school year, was Alex Torcello. From Corona High School in Arizona, you know, 4-star point guard, you know, kind of, you're looking at rankings, you're kind of looking at, like, more like Elliott Pitt's kind of ranking, a little bit better. 4-star kid, you know, he's good. I think this is a great pickup for U of A. Sean Miller, I think, does this because he seems a lot like T.J. McConnell, a lot like T.J. McConnell, you know. Kind of shoots that mid-range, really, really tough. He's super tough, and I think that's something we need in the backcourt. It's always good to have toughness in guard play. I think a kid that, you know, might redshirt his freshman year, we'll see, but, you know, I'd expect to play limited minutes. He signed his letter of intent, but, yeah, someone I think is going to play a big role in U of A down the road. and kind of take a little bit longer to get there, but I think he's going to be a really great player down the road. Like I said, seems to me very similar to TJ McConnell. Obviously, that's a lengthy comparison. TJ did so much for the program, and we'll see if Alex can kind of, you know, live up to that. And then next, talking about Brandon Randolph. This kid, you know, I'd know a little bit less about him than all the other players. He is more, he's a shooting guard, four-star shooting guard, close to a five-star. I think he's in, like, the 30s as far as player rankings. Five-stars usually cap out around, like, 25, something like that. So, you know, close to a five-star shooting guard. And he's a 3-and-D kind of player. Terrence Ferguson, less highly touted Terrence Ferguson, 3-and-D. I think he's 6'5", maybe 6'6". I think he's going to be really good. I think that's what Juve really needs. I want one that's going to be consistently there. We kind of expected Gabe York and Elliott Pitts to be like that person. Obviously, Elliott Pitts didn't pan out. Gabe York wasn't exactly what we expected like that. I think Brandon Randolph will be that, and I'm excited to see where he's going to fit in the program. I think he's going to make a good impact to his ability to knock down the perimeter shot. Sure, I know that he can inside do a little bit of scoring inside, but his defense, I think, is something that people talk about, and his three-point shooting, I think those are going to be the primary things. I think he's going to bring a lot to the team. Next, talking about the other person that signed, Ira Lee. This is a kid born in Arizona, plays high school in California, and he's a very versatile forward, right? I think he's 6'8". He can kind of play the small forward, the power forward. He's a high-intensity player. He's a four-star player. Kind of around, you know, maybe a little bit less touted than Brandon Randolph. Kind of looking at a little bit maybe higher touted than Chance Comanche as a comparison. I think has a lot of upside similar to Chance Comanche. Very high intensity. Hard rebounder, you know, physical player, hustle player. And from what I've seen on this kid, he just throws down on people. He just posterizes people. And I think that's great. I'd love to have someone who's really physical. I think he's a good passer too. Kind of play maybe a little bit more combo forward. I don't know if he passes a lot, how his inside passing is. I saw some highlights, but obviously highlights are highlights. You know, they're all going to be good. But I saw some good passing ability. Overall, I think that, you know, there's going to be another toughness about him, and I'm excited to see what this kid's able to do. I think that combo forward role is something that we really need. He's going to be able to fit in a lot of roles. So I look to see him have, you know, be able to fit in some pieces pretty much right off the bat. I would expect him, maybe Brandon Randolph, maybe a little bit later on Alex Burchello, maybe not immediately playing too many minutes his freshman year, but I would expect Brandon Randolph and Ira Lee to have a decently big impact their freshman year. The last player that I'm going to talk about, on my notes, I have him listed as not writing his letter of intent, but actually I saw right before this that he had actually signed his letter of intent. DeAndre Ayton, the number one player in the class of 2017, committed to Arizona and kind of shocked the world when everyone thought he was going to Kansas. At the last second, people maybe thought Kentucky. But he's coming to Arizona, and that's, you know, something great. 7-footer who can really run the floor. He's from the Bahamas. Played soccer, like, all his life up into basketball. So he runs a lot. You know, he always wanted to play soccer. He's fast. You know, he's physical. Great rebounder. He also plays in Arizona at Hillcrest Hoops. You know, so great, great player. Obviously the highest touted player to ever come to U of A. Some questions about his eligibility. Hillcrest, you know, has had some issues, I think, with NCAA eligibility, but they go through a second online program, and that is NCAA certified, and he says he's on track. So I think people kind of want to say that he's similar to the Terrence Ferguson thing. I think with the difference is that DeAndre Ayton committed a lot earlier. Terrence Ferguson committed, like, in late spring, and never signed his letter of intent. Kind of seemed like there was always the thought in Terrence Ferguson's back of his mind that, you know, obviously I think it came down to qualification for the NCAA, but I think that he was definitely okay with going to Australia. I think that making that money, and I don't blame him. Would love to see him on the team. I think he would have fit really well in. But, you know, best of luck to him. I think DeAndre Ayton is a different thing. it's going to either be, you know, Terrence Ferguson didn't sign his letter of intent. He signed some kind of scholarship kind of thing. DeAndre Ayton signed his letter of intent. You know, he intends to play for this school. He's not looking to be doing stuff overseas. He's not looking at any other schools. He wants to play for Arizona. Obviously a one and done. Very high chance to be the number one overall pick in the 2018 draft. 2017 draft. Or no, yes, 2018 draft. My bad. Obviously very high chance that he will be that. Hopefully he qualifies. I think if he qualifies, he's a shoo-in for U of A. A lot of people are doubting his ability to do that, but I'm feeling confident about it. But I always try to feel confident about these kinds of things. So obviously highly touted player. Will make next year's team if he's able to play for us. Unbelievable. I think the most talented, best team that we've seen in a long time. So hopefully good things coming for this 2018 year. 2018 year with this 2017 class. So a little bit to talk about who we're still recruiting. I'm going to talk about the big two. You know, obviously, we have four commits. Number one class in the country right now that Sean Miller's created. I think he's going to be able to finish off this season with the number one class. Maybe fall in second behind Duke. We'll see. The next kid up, I would expect Lonnie Walker. Five-star shooting guard, top 20 kid from Pennsylvania. I know he has really good inside scoring ability. He's a 2018 NBA lottery pick on the draft boards. Looks like just a solid player, just one that you can just plug in a shoot guard, good inside score, good outside score, can do it all, athletic, just kind of that same kind of shooting guard, kind of looking at Kobe Simmons kind of a little bit more, but a little bit bigger, I believe. Hopefully we land him. I think the expectation, I think he's doing a visit to Syracuse, and then after that he's going to make an announcement. The thought is that he's going to be committing to Arizona. I would expect it within the next 2 weeks or so. So I think that he's almost a lock unless something happens where he visited Syracuse and really loves it. But I would expect him to, commit to Arizona. That's what I think. But the second guy, and I think a guy that we would really need, is Brandon McCoy. Five-star, top 10 power forward, center, pretty much a 7-footer. He's from California. Great player. Very similar to DeAndre Ayton. I know that when DeAndre Ayton committed to Arizona, people thought McCoy was off the chart. Like, there was no way that Arizona could land him. I know that after his visit here with Brandon Randolph, that him and Brandon had, one of those surreal visits where everything just went well for the U of A staff. They really loved it. So I know we were the favorite for him. I've been hearing recently that Michigan State might be pulling out in front. I think that his recruitment's going to take a while. I'd expect Lonnie Walker's to come in the next couple of weeks. I think Brandon McCoy is not going to be in this earlier period. I think it's going to take a while. I know he has some more, he has some more visits planned. So we'll see. I think that we really need him almost as insurance for DeAndre Ayton if he doesn't come to U of A, as well as, I think he could play both him and DeAndre Ayton on the same court. Two really, power forward / center 7-footers who can really run the floor. DeAndre Ayton can knock down, mid-range shots. He can shoot the three, and just a dominant player in the post. Obviously, Brandon McCoy, a very dominant player in the post as well. Great rebounding. So I would expect Lonnie Walker to commit to us. Brandon McCoy, it's tough to say right now. I'll keep you a little bit more posted on those two. Obviously, we have our four commits signed. So we're looking really good right now. I like the way that Sean Miller is recruiting right now. A little bit more for the future than, this past class, just, 3 5-stars. I like to see that, but I like to see, some consistency, mix it up with these 3 4-stars that we've already got signed. I think that's a great start. It's going to be really good down the road, the way that he's recruiting now. Couple other names I'm just going to throw out there, Jared Vanderbilt and Brian Bowen. Brian Bowen, most likely, small forward. He, grows up really close to Michigan State. Michigan State's a favorite. I heard that he kind of had a pretty good visit here. I would say not likely. Jared Vanderbilt, kind of power forward, small forward kind of guy. TCU hired one of his family members as a staff when Jamie Dixon went there from from Pitt. I know that, you know, that them or kind of either Kentucky or Texas, I don't really remember, kind of the favorite. I would say it's TCU. So I'd say not likely on either of them. I think you're looking at Lonnie Walker and Brandon McCoy, but those are two names to keep an eye out on. And then so that's pretty much it for the 2017 class. And then as far as the 2018 class, as far as recruiting, three names. I talk quickly about them. Brandon Williams, five-star point guard, top 20. Miles Norris, like top 15, five-star power forward. Tayshaun Cherry, four-star power forward. These are the three I would expect to commit to Arizona. I think Brandon Williams is almost a lock. He loves Arizona. You know, I think he's a great point guard, someone who I think could really have a huge impact in Arizona and be really Sean Miller's kind of point guard, but have the skill as one of those five-star guys, which has kind of been something Sean Miller's been lacking a little bit as far as the point guard. Really kind of more of a pass first, but can still score as well and keep people honest. Miles Norris, great power forward, physical. Same thing with Tayshaun Cherry. I know that Tayshaun Cherry and Brandon Williams are really close, so I think that they could kind of be a package deal. So I'd expect these three to commit to Arizona. I think Brandon Williams before anyone else. I could see an early commitment from him, but I don't think it's going to be anytime too soon. Just kind of wanted to get you guys exposed to the names. But that's pretty much it on recruiting. You know, every week I'm going to talk a little bit more about it, but I'm not going to go over it like this. I'll tell you if I hear anything else. I'll tell you if I don't. I'll let you guys know. But kind of as the conclusion of this podcast, I know we're rounding out to kind of close to an hour here. Kind of the conclusion as far as this week and what I expect for this season, I'd expect, like Sean Miller said, they're going to be young at the start. They're going to make a lot of mistakes. They might lose games because of the mistakes, boxing out, rebounding, turnovers, you know, bad passes, you know, not playing physical defense the whole time. These and just fouling and stuff like that. These are issues that they could have. This is a young team. I think parallels the 2017 team a lot. That, you know, I think the upside on this team, maybe they don't, you know, go undefeated like we're expecting them to in non-conference play. I could see them making mistakes, especially in Pac-12 play. I think it's gonna be tough for us to, you know, beat out Oregon this year. I think we can do it. I would say Oregon's definitely the top dog. I think they kind of got shafted a little bit in the AP poll coming out of 5. People thought that was too high. I think that's too low. I think they're a Final Four contender. Definitely they return almost everyone from last year, even get more good players. So I think that they're going to be really great. It's going to be really tough for us to beat them. But by the time I think we make the tournament, I think we're going to be really good. This team has a ceiling that is so high as far as their upside, something I haven't seen. Last season, you know, Sean Miller said they struggled against Chico State, but the difference was that they struggled against Chico State and they were all seniors on that team. And they had an issue with that D2 team. And here it is, a bunch of freshmen, and they kind of played them the same. There's a lot of room for growth, a lot of teaching. These freshmen are very teachable, and they're going to have a lot, you know, on their shoulders. You know, but by the middle of Pac-12 play, I believe that they're going to hit a stride, and I think that we have a chance to go really deep into this tournament this year. Do I think they're Final Four caliber? I don't know. I expect us to make the second weekend easily. Obviously, it's all going to come up to luck. I think that this team could, you know, make a good run, though. I think that they have the talent and the depth to do it. Obviously, they don't have the depth right now, but if you get Alonzo Chura in there, now 8 becomes 9, and now you have 9 guys that could be starting on almost any team, it seems like. 9 fantastic players. I mean, you have a McDonald's All-American coming off the bench in Kobe Simmons. That's a great thing to have. So I think Alonzo Chura comes back in a couple weeks. They kind of hit a stride. I think this team can do great things. You're going to need someone to knock down perimeter shots and keep people honest, and, you know, they got to play great interior defense. I think if they can do that, you know, they have that huge ceiling. I think they're going to be a lot better by the end of the year and have a really solid chance of making a good run. You know, I'm pretty high up on this team right now, just as far as their talent level. But that's pretty much all I have for this week. I know this one kind of went long. I just wanted to tell you guys all about everything, that I know about up to this point. The ones after this one aren't going to be nearly as long. I just had to talk a lot about recruiting, a lot about, you know, the current state of our team. So once again, love out to Ray Smith. Hope that everything's okay, that he has a great, prosperous rest of his life. Alonzo Trier, hoping that, you know, he gets his stuff figured out and we can have him back soon. You know, and let's beat Michigan State this weekend. So thank you for listening. Goodbye.